Give me one reason why I shouldn't have my boy here pull your head off.
How about a magic trick? I'm gonna make this pencil disappear. Ta-da! It's gone.
Hello, all you beautiful people and you fucking nerds. This is the Rated Par Podcast here with another edition of the Movie News Roundup. And I am here, or wrap up, I kind of keep switching, I don't give a fuck, it's my podcast, and I'm here once again with Jordy Rose.
What's up, everybody? Happy to be back on the show.
So he is here to help me break down this last week in movie news, and again, superhero fucking news is everywhere right now. It wouldn't be a movie news week without some crazy picture reveal, trailer drop from the superhero genre, and people fucking freaked out about this picture reveal, and I think it's the most overblown, overhyped picture ever. But
I don't disagree.
We got our first quote unquote look at Joaquin Phoenix as not the Joker.
No.
As Arthur
Fleck.
Arthur Fleck, who is going to be the man who turns into the Joker. This is a film that is going to be separate from the DCEU, centered around the idea of telling one-off stories. I'm guessing they're just about villains. I don't know if they're going to be about heroes as well.
I don't know.
The idea is basically Warner Brothers is like, our DCEU is failing. What if we just start doing one-off films that aren't separated? Because, you know, people just like character-driven stories. They don't have to be connected.
It's true. They don't have to be connected. There is nothing wrong with a really good standalone movie.
Yeah.
I mean, God, if we got that standalone movie for that intro as the Heath Ledger Joker, are you fucking kidding me?
Yeah.
There wouldn't be a person on the planet who wouldn't go see that movie.
Yeah.
Right? Fuck Batman. Fuck everything. Fuck Batman.
Yeah, fuck Batman.
But yeah, no, really, like, screw Batman, screw everything about the DCEU. Give us that Joker standalone movie. I have seen this picture. I've known that this is something related to the Joker. I didn't know that it was Arthur Fleck as the backstory for it. And, yeah, it's just kind of, you know, it's a picture of Joaquin Phoenix. He looks kind of old. He's a little wrinkly. He's got slightly long hair.
Yeah, it's...
Whoop-de-doo.
Like, I do like that he dropped weight for the role. There's definitely...
Oh yeah, like, he can't be a regular Joaquin Phoenix for this kind of a role.
No, and I kind of... I like what the direction it's going in, that he's, you know, obviously put a lot of thought into his appearance and his look.
Yeah.
And this is coming from Todd Phillips, of all people, who directed the Hangover films.
Yeah.
Who's directing it, which, you know, I won't really judge an odd director choice for superhero films, because I've been proven wrong time and time again.
Oh, 100%.
When someone I've never heard about before does a superhero film. But the film Phillips is directing is from a script he co-wrote with Scott Silver. And the studio describes the story as being an exploration of a man disregarded by society that is not only a gritty character study, but also a broader cautionary tale. So, it's an origin movie of the Joker.
Yeah, 100%.
Which, in comic books especially, his origin has barely ever been told. It's been told kind of once in The Killing Joke.
The Killing Joke,
and
yeah,
that is the definitive Joker origin.
Yeah, that's the definitive canon Joker origin, which, to be fair, is an amazing Joker origin.
Yeah, so, and I don't know, I don't even remember if that guy was called Arthur Fleck in that story, if this is a new name, I don't really remember.
Actually, that's a good point. I'll look that up.
But in the comic book storyline, Joker is a failed comedian, which apparently this guy is going to be as well, who kind of gets tied up into working with an organized crime gang known as the Red Hood. The gang then puts a giant, like, red bucket on his head, basically, with like a cape, and they go and try to do this robbery at Ace Chemicals. It goes south. Batman shows up. They kind of like leave him there as a scapegoat.
Mm-hmm.
And Batman, while fighting him or trying to like bring him in, accidentally pushes him over the rails into a vat of chemicals. Thus, we get the Joker.
Yeah.
Now, no one has said that Batman is showing up in this film.
No, and I actually, based on everything that we've seen, everything that we've read, I'm not expecting there to be an appearance. This is a Joker origin movie, right?
Unless Batman is, like, Batman makes the Joker.
Yeah.
In every origin.
It's true.
He shows up when he's in the middle of a heist that he got roped into. He knocks him into a vat of chemicals. Even if there's been stories where he was, like, trying to rob, he was in charge of the robbery. He was there by accident. There's been a lot of different iterations, but everything has been the same with Batman shows up and accidentally either pushes him into the vat of chemicals or he falls over and is trying to save him and like his hand slips. So, but no one has said Batman is showing up in this film. So, and they don't even know, I don't even think they've said that he's going to fall into a vat of chemicals. It could just be that he just has a psychotic break and just like cracks and just starts putting on makeup and then starts killing people. Who knows?
Yeah.
But the concept of it is interesting to me. But this picture reveal is just so weird. Yeah. And just, I don't know. Everyone was like, oh my God. And I think what they're more excited about is just that, A, this movie is happening.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it confirms that it is in production. It is being filmed. Like, yeah, you are going to get Joaquin Phoenix as a Joker at some point. Which, you know, excites me as well.
Yep.
But when people say the first picture of the Joker is revealed, that is so misleading. No. It's ridiculous.
This is the first picture of the nameless man that is the Joker. So, just did a little bit of digging because God knows finding anything to do with anything about the Joker's origin story is like needle in 10 million haystacks.
Yeah.
He didn't have a name in The Killing Joke. He was the nameless husband to his wife.
Right.
So that canon is that he doesn't have a name.
Yeah.
So Arthur Fleck is apparently one name. There are a few others. You know, some people are saying
Joe his Chill. Name.
Joe Kerr, J-O-E-K-E-R-R, is apparently one that was mentioned in a few other things. The one exception being that there was an article that was published that did actually give him a real name. And it was published by, what's his name, who did The Killing Joke? Who's the writer of it. Joe Kerr. No, it's right here. Jack Napier.
Right. Yeah, yeah, that Alan was a Tim
Moore.
Burton ballad.
Yeah, Alan Moore said that Jack Napier is the official name.
Yeah.
So this being Arthur Fleck is a name that I've never heard.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And relating to the Joker.
So if you haven't seen the pictures, go online. Like, definitely Joaquin Phoenix has lost a lot of weight for the role, and he's definitely has a specific vibe. Like, when you look at his picture, you do get a very creepy figure. And
oh yeah, like, this is the thing, is what I'm hoping for is I hope that there's somewhere on Reddit or God knows on 4chan that they have done a proper Photoshop on this and applied the Joker makeup.
Oh, they have everywhere. And he actually looks pretty good. And
I mean,
they've been different versions. Like, a lot of people have just put him in Heath Ledger makeup.
Yeah.
Which I really don't think they're going to go that route for this. But there's been different Photoshops of him in different styles of makeup. And he does look pretty solid. So yeah. I will be waiting for him to be in the real makeup, which I'm sure we'll get fairly soon. Because
it's honestly what I'm going to expect is it's that exact pose, just now with the makeup, or like the same pose flipped,
yeah,
mirrored with the makeup on.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
then that gets released, you know, closer to the release date of the film. I did just find an article here. So apparently the Warner Brothers version that they're releasing, the standalone Joker movie, the Joker's real name is Arthur Fleck, made up by the director and the script writers. So it is not canon.
It's
it is not
new.
Comic. It is brand new.
It will be. Even the film
it's
comes
not going to be canon. I don't care what they say. That is not going to make it canon.
Yeah.
If it's not in a comic, it's not canon, because the Joker is a comic book character. He's not a movie character.
It's true, guys. If you haven't seen the photo, go take a look at it. Let us know what you think. So if you guys have listened to our Flick Chart debate episodes, you know that Jordy and I are huge fans of The Predator.
Yes.
And when this latest Predator was coming out, we were actually super stoked to go see it. We were kind of trying to plan when to go watch it. And then the reviews came out.
Yeah.
And oh my God, guys. The word is bad.
Yeah.
Like, really bad. every reviewer I follow has just said it was so disappointing, completely misses the mark, that the last Predator film that came out with Adrian Brody is actually a much more legitimate Predator movie than this one. Which is not bad, because I actually like that movie.
Yeah, but at the same time, that's not saying a lot.
No, and that Shane Black, who directed it, who's done like Nice Guys, Kiss Kiss, Bang Bang, Iron Man 3, who's an amazing writer and director, just completely missed the point. And it was like a borderline comedy.
Yeah, it was is what most people
were saying. Not in that it was like trying to be serious and funny.
Yeah.
That they had everyone being so quippy and saying joke after joke after joke after joke. So I still kind of want to see it regardless, just because I'm such a big fan of the movie. I might just kind of watch it like a canned version streaming. But there was an article released today that said that the ending of the movie actually had a different take from the first draft of the script, that essentially brought back Arnold Schwarzenegger's character back for a cameo at the very end. Yeah. And there's kind of like a brief description of what it was going to be, having Dutch Schaefer come back.
So we should do this beforehand. We are going to build a big spoiler alert on this. If anybody is really excited for this movie and it's been out for, you know, only a couple of days at this point, and you are like looking forward to going to see the movie, this is something that will spoil a little bit. But, you know, at the same time, it's a campy Predator movie, so it's kind of up to you to decide if it's worth listening to.
Yeah, so I'm about to tell you the ending of Predator, the new Predator. So again, if you have not seen The Predator, don't listen to this anymore. Skip ahead to a different subject. But here you go. So the ending to The Predator goes like this. First, you see the Predator that came to Earth. You find out he's a fugitive being hunted down by other Predators, and he has a weapon that he wants to give the human race to help them in their fight. And this weapon is called the Predator Killer, and it's pretty much like an Iron Man suit. I guess because Shane Black did an Iron Man movie, he thought it would be fun to do his own. When the suit makes its big debut at the end of the film, someone asks what it is, and the main character, McKenna, says, "That's my new suit, hope it comes in 42 long," and then the film cuts to black and everyone doesn't give a shit. But the original ending that they had went like this. Instead, McKenna, his son, Rory, and Casey Brackett, Rory played by Jacob Tremblay, Casey Brackett is played by Olivia Munn, have all just survived the final attack of the super predator, like the big souped up one in the trailer, when a helicopter lands and out climbs Dutch Schaefer, who is played by Arnold Schwarzenegger, his face haunted, etched by pain, is what the script says. And Dutch basically tells the trio to come with him, and Rory asks, "Me too?" And Arnold basically just says, "Especially you," and then it cuts to black. So it's just a fun little tidbit of what could have been. I mean, even just like the fact that there was like a Predator suit of armor was like the secret weapon. So there's a
super Predator, and then the secret weapon brought to Earth by the Predator that...
So there's a Predator that wants to basically help the humans for some reason.
Yeah.
Which is just already against what the Predator is supposed to be about. So the Predator goes to Earth, wants to save the humans, give them the suit of armor to help them survive when Predators come and kill them. So an even bigger Predator comes to Earth, that's a super Predator, like fucking Super Shredder in Ninja Turtles 2, and is trying to, like, kill everybody.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah, it's very...
I would have preferred the original ending, to be honest.
I think everyone would have preferred the original ending. Are you kidding? Even if it was just a 5-second cameo reprisal of the role.
Did you leave anything for us? Just bodies.
Yeah, exactly.
Anyway, that's just a small quip, but if any of you have seen The Predator at this point, who's still listening, you know, reply back to the podcast stream. Let us know what you think about The Predator, if you have seen it. If you're listening to this on Anchor, you can call in, give us your suggestions. I'd really like to know your opinions on this. So the streaming war continues between Netflix, Amazon, and local theater companies. I'm not sure if you're aware of this, Jordy, but like last year, there was a lot of rumors going around that there was a lot of backing for this sort of home theater box that essentially you would pay $50 a month for, and it would allow you to watch streamed theater, like new release movies from theaters to your home.
Oh, yeah, I never heard about this one, because I know that I follow the story of the Android boxes before, where you're able to stream those, but those are obviously not legal, per se.
So this concept would be totally legal, 100%. It's had a lot of, you know, a lot of people going against it in the theater chain world.
Yeah, of course.
Not necessarily from the studios, but from people who own theaters, because...
Yeah, because that's immediately their theater shutting down, basically.
Yeah, and I mean, personally, for me, I still love the movie-going experience, and I would want to see that for new films.
I need my popcorn,
like, I wouldn't want to watch The Avengers on my TV, necessarily.
Yeah. It's like, oh yeah, I'm going to get a streaming box and watch Infinity War on my laptop.
Yeah, so with that kind of on the rise... Theaters and theater chains have been trying to see how they can best mediate between their services and streaming services. And apparently a lot of meetings are going on right now, particularly between Netflix, Amazon, and IMAX.
Yep.
Because apparently some meetings have been going around with these big company heads coming together. And according to IMAX CEO Richard Gelfond, the streaming service giants are looking at releasing some of their films in IMAX. So, like, for instance, Bright, that got released not too long ago with Will Smith. There's a chance, and I know that they've done some theatrical releases for Netflix films, like Beasts of No Nation.
Mm-hmm.
I think that was one with Idris Elba.
Yep.
Because they want their films to be accredited for awards season, and to do that, it has to run in films for run in theaters for at least 2 weeks.
Yeah, even just a small theatrical release in the, in the minor theaters.
Yeah, so it looks like they're looking to put them now in IMAX, which is like you could, like when Bright was released on Netflix, there's a chance that you could have gone to an IMAX theater and seen that
Will Smith.
As well.
Yeah.
So the CEO, and this is according to The Hollywood Reporter, said that they're in active discussions of all the streaming services about an IMAX release. He then added that the closest analogy that he had was if, you know, an airline said to you, you can sit in first class and drink champagne, or you can sit in the back row. So where are people going to go? I noticed from informal discussions that a lot of them are going to IMAX. So this also would help them on their opening days for their big tentpole releases and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And that IMAX is like that premium viewing experience.
Well, yeah, I mean, we went to go see, and actually not that long ago, we saw Dunkirk in the IMAX screen at it was
Science World.
Yeah, Science World.
But that's not a regular IMAX
screen.
That's
not a regular IMAX screen.
That's like
that's the dome theater.
Yeah.
But even still, like that kind of an experience for Dunkirk, a movie that came out 2 years ago, 2016, right? And like that theater was relatively full.
And it could actually push Netflix and Amazon to make more big budget films and more epic style
movies. Yeah, I was going to say, because that is one thing that they don't seem to really have, is they've got these great, I don't want to say indie films by any stretch, because they're not. They are, you know, big budget, big blocks, big box office.
They do a lot of dramas, and they do a lot of crime movies.
And
they do some genre movies, a lot of horror movies.
Yeah.
But the genre movies are not big budget Avengers top level films. And there was a report that came out, like, actually I remember reading not too long ago, that Netflix and Amazon were looking to make this shift in their content, that they wanted to start making like Lord of the Rings, which Amazon is fucking doing. They're making a Lord of the Rings series, but they want to get into like big budget action films.
Yeah, big budget, like what we would consider a box office blockbuster.
Yeah, because if you saw like an Iron Man film, for example, that would say coming to Netflix soon.
Yeah.
Like, you'd be excited to see it, but in the back of your mind, you would probably be like, oh, I wish
I could see it in a theater.
Yeah. So that would be a big boost to not only IMAX theaters, but movie theater chains.
Yeah.
Because Netflix content, Amazon content is just rolling out so much these days because they have so much money to back it up.
It's true.
Yeah,
if they were able to release, you know, a decent blockbuster movie every month, then these people who are so worried about it drawing all of their services away for the box that would have been offered now all of a sudden are seeing that increase in revenue. That's going to be a total change to what everything is that they're worried about.
Now, would you think that if this went through and Netflix and Amazon got their movies into IMAX, would that not pivot them to a really good advantageous position for them to be like, why don't we open up our own chain of movie theaters? Why don't we have Netflix theaters? Why don't we have Amazon theaters that show like Netflix movies? Like, why not? Wouldn't that be a logical next step?
Man, I don't know. I feel like it'd be something where they could almost get franchised out, like treat them like a Subway, right? Yeah. Where it's like it's a small space, single theater, you know, maybe 50 seats, 100 seats. And they can do however many shows of whatever new shows that are coming out on Netflix. They could, what they could actually market it to would be like the movie gaming community almost, right? Where like you can rent out a movie theater and play PlayStation games on the big screen. You've seen that before, right? Like get something like that would be kind of interesting. But I don't know, the amount of money to dump into that just to get, you know, that little bit of extra money from whatever people are willing to get off their couch, get dressed, drive to that theater, sit down, watch a movie that they can watch on their home TV through your smart TV or through your streaming service of some kind versus going out there. I just don't see it.
Well, I'd like viewing parties for TV shows have been a big thing over the last couple years. Like right. When bars show like Game of Thrones or stuff like that.
Yeah.
But I always thought it would be a really good idea if, you know, if like one theater in a movie theater place would show like Game of Thrones once a week, like on Sundays.
Yeah.
Right. So, and if Cineplex Theater showed Game of Thrones on Sundays, you would go.
You know what?
I would want to go.
I would actually VIP that shit.
Yeah.
Get some drinks, get some food. Yeah.
So if Netflix had like a series that they dropped that everyone loves.
If it's a series and it's like a weekly thing, like episodes are coming, like if Sabrina, the new show that was announced there, like that ends up being this dark, really gritty,
like cool the show, thing. Like the first three episodes, and then like next week you can watch.
Altered Carbon would be a better option, right? If Altered Carbon,
that would have been sick to watch in the theater.
Exactly. Like if we could have gone to,
and now this is what they're talking about is more for movies, but that's what I'm thinking later down the road is how they could make it advantageous for themselves.
Exactly. And if the holdup is that we don't see that this is advantageous from a monetary perspective, then make it so that it's not just movies. Make it so that it is your super successful Netflix originals, TV shows, and then have those show weekly episodes, or if you're releasing them on a weekly or bi-weekly schedule, have those scheduled to then show in those Netflix theaters.
Now, they tried to do this with Inhumans. ABC released the first two episodes of Inhumans in the theater.
Yeah, see, and I never saw that because I just heard that it was fucking awful.
I know, it was really bad, but it's something that they tried. And I don't know what the ticket sales were like for that, but if there was a series that was already popular, like a Game of Thrones, and then, you know, tomorrow Netflix announces that they're going to be able to show their content in IMAX screens.
Yeah.
Not have like their own theater chain, but just like an IMAX screen, you're going to be able to watch Netflix programming.
Yeah.
And say if the new season, and like I know they don't own Game of Thrones,
no.
But a show that's like that super popular, and they tell their audience like for this Sunday only, you can watch the first three episodes of the new season of this show.
Yeah.
And then next week will be the next three and the next three. I would be down. Super down.
That would actually be kind of cool.
To see like your favorite show with all of your friends and everything. And everyone going, oh my God.
And get the movie theater popcorn, big comfy seats. Right. Yeah. Actually, you know what? Yeah. It's something I could get behind. It's just, it's tough then. Because then it would come down to, are people like, do you need a Netflix subscription to get into the Netflix theater to then watch your show? Is it a package that you would do as a monthly additional cost where you can see X number of films in your Netflix theater, or is it a standalone, you know, no one needs a Netflix subscription monthly to get this, but you can go to our theater and pay whatever your ticket price is to get a Netflix
show.
I would think
they'd be separate. Like, you would go and pay it like a movie ticket.
Yeah, I guess that's fair. Yeah, it's an interesting concept and something that I could definitely get behind, but I feel like there would need to be a little more support for the big blockbuster, you know, kind of what we see as the box office smash movies in order for Netflix to really break into that market. Because to be fair, it's been tough enough for major studios to do that over the last 5 years. I mean, we've been seeing the decline of any kind of going out cinema since the early 2000s, really. Mid-late 2000s is when it really started to just fall off entirely. So,
yeah. Netflix, Amazon, IMAX,
Hulu. Yeah.
I'm down. And speaking on the topic of streaming services, Disney, if you didn't know, is going to have their very own streaming service, which it just feels like every franchise owner in the world is trying to get their own streaming services going. And Disney did not officially announce this, but the Variety did break this story about some content that's going to be featured on that streaming service. One show that we do know is going to be on the Disney streaming service that is in development is a giant $100 million budget Star Wars series with Jon Favreau at the helm. No one knows the story about that yet, what characters are going to be involved. But
I'm excited to see Jon Favreau in the Star Wars universe.
Yeah, man. I am very stoked as well. I think that's going to come out very, very well. Very excited to see where that goes. But this next piece of news is going to fucking shock you Marvel fans. So, obviously, Disney wants the streaming service to be huge. There's a lot of money in streaming services. Just like when social media first started, there's your big three, Hulu, Netflix, Amazon, and they have cornered the market with content. So, new players are trying to come into the game, and they know they have to make a big impact to get you to come and watch the shit. So, what has been revealed is that Disney is going to be producing Marvel shows for the streaming service. No brainer, right? There's been rumors that they're going to be taking their shows from Netflix and putting it on their own streaming service.
Oh, it's not rumors, it's confirmed.
Right?
The movies are starting to be pulled. All of the Disney animated classics are being removed from Netflix.
Yeah, so Daredevil, Iron Fist, Luke Cage, it'll all go to
all
the
of it
streaming
is
service.
Go to the streaming service. They're pulling their movies off of it as well.
Yeah, so in this report from Variety, they are saying that there will be more Marvel TV content for the streaming service. These shows will not be under the Marvel TV Studios department, which oversees Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and all the Netflix shows. These shows will be produced by Marvel Studios, the movie studios. Now, why would they make that change? Well, apparently, these new TV shows, they have two that are confirmed for development and they are moving forward. And these shows will be around Loki and Scarlet Witch. And yeah, holy fuck, they're being played by Tom Hiddleston and the girl who plays Scarlet Witch.
Elizabeth Olsen.
Elizabeth Olsen.
The other Olsen kid.
Yeah. That is fucking huge. And how can they afford this? Well, apparently, they don't give a fuck, and they are putting a hefty budget into these new shows that is going to rival those of major studio productions. That's how you afford movie stars for your TV show.
Yeah.
And these shows have been said to be around 6 to 8 episodes, so, which, by the way, like, when I mentioned this to you before, you said miniseries. I think that's a perfect fucking season of television.
I think eight episodes, if they're 40-minute episodes, 8 episodes a season, that's a Game of Thrones-style season. I'm good with that.
Yeah.
If it's a 6-episode season with, like, 40-minute episodes, you know, then we're looking at a 12-episode season. We're looking at, like, a sitcom-style.
Well, no, like, most hour-long drama seasons are 12.
Yeah.
But, like, it gets to 10, and then 11-12 just kind of like,
yeah,
seems like
just,
they're going on a bit.
It just gets you excited for the next season.
So, and this is kind of what the report has to say about this development, is that storylines for each series are still being teased out, but Disney appears to be holding back on some significant firepower for the big screen. Insiders stress the Avengers that have gotten their own movies like Iron Man and Captain America will not be featured in the series, with the studios focusing on characters who have served as second-tier characters in the MCU. The report also says that Marvel Studios will produce the shows, and Kevin Feige is expected to take a hands-on role in their development.
Super excited.
The man who single-handedly has been shepherding the movie universe is going to shepherd this new TV universe?
Because
they've already did one, but Kevin Feige saw it like, nah. I got this. Let me...
Hold my beer.
Yeah, hold my beer. Like, because if you guys didn't know this, and I don't know if you know this, Jordy, but there's been a bit of dramatic tension between the TV department and the movie department.
I didn't, fill me in.
So Ike Perlmutter,
yep,
is the head of the TV division at for Marvel and Disney.
Yep.
And apparently there's been a couple times when him and Kevin kind of went blows for blows out of like what could be shared between the TV and the movies and who could appear in what.
Hmm.
And apparently it was Perlmutter who was like really standoffish and wouldn't like let him play with the Netflix characters, would like purposefully keep the TV universe like by itself and not let the movie sides play with each other.
That feels like it should have been the other way around, that the movie studios would be like, this is our property, we're not demeaning it to put it on TV or a Netflix.
I mean, there's
original.
More details into that, but basically there's been tension between the two departments, and it's because of Perlmutter usually.
Yep.
So with Disney now getting its own streaming channel, Kevin Feige could be like, well, I can see them like having an argument in a bar and being like, you couldn't do my job, Feige. If you got a TV show, it's way harder than movies. You couldn't keep up with the pace. Hold my beer. Yeah. Like, yeah. So this is going to be... This immediately gets me super fucking excited. I mean, The Star Wars show alone was enough, but this news is fucking ridiculous. Like, there are no limits to what they can do with this fucking universe
anymore. This is the thing, is this can finally give people the standalone movies and TV shows that they've wanted. You want your Black Widow movie that hasn't been confirmed yet, if I'm not mistaken?
Yeah. Done. No, it is being made.
It is being made. Okay, but even still, your Hawkeye movie, right? Like, your Hawkeye movie is never going to be that, but it could be a 6-episode series.
Yeah.
It could be a standalone
for
sure.
And I find this really ironic that the way they're going about developing these shows is the exact same way they develop the movies.
Yeah.
We're like, we're going to make Marvel films, but they're not going to be about like the X-Men or Spider-Man. We're going to use what we have. We're going to use the characters that people don't know that much about. And they made them top characters.
Yeah.
And now they're going into the Marvel universe and picking characters that, quite frankly, people do like. Everyone loves Loki.
Yeah.
But characters who haven't had their own film, and then give them a vehicle to be leads in. So,
exactly.
This is huge news, guys. If you want to read up more about this, go over to Variety. I think they got more info over there, but this is fucking big. And that is going to do it for this week's edition of the Movie News Wrap-Up, Roundup, whatever the fuck you want to call it. thank you guys so much for listening, as always. Thanks, Jordy, for again coming and accompanying me on this week of nerd talk.
Always happy to do it.
And as always, put down the remote and go watch a motherfucking movie and download Disney streaming.